This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It's good to have you along today as we speak to a local author from Snyder County. Marcia Hubler has been writing for years, and she writes about a variety of things, one of them being horses, and horses are something close to her heart as well. Now, Marcia's also been on our program before, as she does now head up the Montrose Christian Writers Conference. We'll be talking about a variety of things today, all related to writing and her writing in particular. Thanks for joining us on the program, Marcia.
You have been writing, or at least interested in writing, for many years, correct?
Probably close to 30 years now.
And what first got your interest in doing that? Was it something that had kind of been brewing on the back of your mind?
I have to give some credit to three teachers as I grew up, a third grade teacher, an eighth grade teacher, and then a college prof. And they all encouraged me, and for years and years I thought, well, maybe I can write. So with their encouragement, when I was married and I had some time, I started writing articles and short stories. And that all started about 25, 30 years ago.
And your first published book?
The first published book was a nonfiction. It's called Draw Me Closer, Lord. It's a Bible study for ladies about prayer. And strangely enough, I thought the Lord was leading me that way into writing nonfiction. But then I met an editor from Zondervan at the Montrose Christian Writers Conference, and she was looking for someone to write a series about a foster girl and her horse. And I was there trying to sell my nonfiction line. She wasn't interested in that at all. But when I told her I had horses for 20 years and I had foster children, we met, and the rest is history. I got a contract with Zondervan for 8 books, and it's now the Keystone Stables series.
And what was her thought when she realized that how well you matched the what she was thinking?
She kept saying, if this is a God thing, it's going to happen. Because I in the bottom of my suitcase when I went to that conference, I had a short story about a girl in a wheelchair who learned to ride a horse. I had never thought of doing anything with that. I knew that this lady was there from Zondervan. I thought, I didn't go to one of her classes. But I thought, maybe I'll pull that out and talk to her. So I went and met with her. And she read that little article or short story. She said, nah, we can't use that, but I am here looking for someone to write this series. And that's what happened. And that was way back. I met her in 2001. And the series started coming out in 2004, and over the next 5 years, all 8 books came out, and now there's over 250,000 in print.
Wow. And that, how do you know when you're done the series, or did it kind of come to a logical conclusion? Or?
Well, I did have some ideas to let the main character, Skye, who is this foster girl, she's 13 in the series, I had some ideas about letting her get a little older, and the kids that were reading the book wanted to know what was going to happen with her best friend, Chad. But the company decided, no, we're done with that. So the company made the final decision. Okay. So it had ended after 8 books.
Okay.
But I've had friends who've written series, and they said, after a while, I just wanted to kill her off. I'm so sick of her. But I didn't feel like that.
Okay.
Skye was so much. She's a compilation of all of the foster girls that we had.
Okay. So kind of
mix and match.
Amalgamation of different people in one.
And even though the books are fiction, there are a few stories in there that are absolutely true.
Okay.
And that might just draw kids to some issues here with young girls and growing up and, you know, just facing issues.
Okay. And and since you also had horses, as you're writing about a particular horse, are you thinking of a particular horse you had?
Oh, yes. I guess we all have pets that we loved, and I had a special horse. His name was Rex. And he was, and for anybody who knows horses, he was half quarter horse and half Tennessee Walker. And he was a sweetheart. And in fact, in the back, there's a little story in the back of each of these books about him. And the company put a picture in there of him. And He's gone a long time, but I still miss him. Wow. He was a precious animal. You could put a baby on his back, and he would, he'd know that it was somebody that didn't know anything about horses. He was a great little guy.
So fiction, but there's a lot of real life in it, too.
There's a lot of me in it.
Yeah. Okay.
I worked for 8 years at the Bethesda Prep School and Treatment Center that was outside Milton, and as a counselor there. All of that information, all those years that I spent there with those children who needed help, that's all built into that, because the main character in that book, Mrs. Chambers, works at a treatment center. So the whole setting is at a foster home and a special needs writing academy. And then on the side, she works at this treatment center. So all of those years of experience are in the series.
Okay. And we'll talk about the newer series in a minute, but I think this is probably the third time I've had you on this program. Once we talked about homeschooling, and another time about the Christian Writers Conference, which has also been a part of your life now for several years. Tell us about that and how you came into that.
I've been going to the Montrose Christian Writers Conference since, I think, 1998. And, of course, Patty Souter was the director for over 20, 25 years, I believe she put there. And in 2014, she decided to retire. So in 2015, I was asked to take over the directorship, and I said, no way. And that was a mistake. Yes way, God said. So I've been doing it. This is my ninth year already to be director of that conference. And it's a great little conference for anybody who is interested in writing at any level of their experience. We always have over 45, 50 classes to teach you how to write well, how to market, how to edit, nonfiction, fiction, poetry, music. We have it all. And it's in such a beautiful setting up there in Montrose at the R.A. Torrey's Restored Conference Center and Home. And it's every year in July, either the second or third week. This year it's July 15th through the 19th. It starts on a Monday evening and goes till Friday morning. And we usually have people from all over the country. We fly people in that are on faculty. Editors, best-selling authors, publishers, and agents. They come in, and then you can sit down and talk one-on-one with them. And that's where I received three different contracts,
wow,
meeting those kind of people there at that conference. And it's a good conference.
So I won't need to ask how the conference benefits a writer, because that's it right there. It's the networking with these people.
That's right. It's very hard to get a book published by any mainline publishing companies these days. A lot of people are going to self-publishing, which is fine as long as you hire an editor to do your work. And again, we cover all of those issues at the conference every year.
I know I've read self-published books where I want to do some proofreading. So yeah, that's definitely important, especially when you're someone who either is a writer or has been done a lot of reading. We pick those things up.
It's painful. I've even seen covers with grammatical errors and punctuational errors on, and it hurts.
It's the facepalm moment.
Right.
Okay. All right. And now does the Writers Conference, heading that up, is that like a year-round thing, or is it more or less organizing and, being there for the event?
It's pretty much an all-year job. To find faculty, qualified faculty members to come, that takes months of interaction with different people, if they can come, what they're going to teach. And then I plan the schedule from Monday to Friday. And then the rest of the faculty or the people up there at the conference center in the main office, they will do all the housing and the travel and things like that. So we work as a team. But the director has the main position to organize and plan the schedule.
Okay. All right. With that, we move on to Tommy Pockets, another series that you're, I would say, ongoing now.
Yeah, this was a complete different change as far as my writing style. When I wrote the other books, the Keystone Stables and about 15 other books, they were all in third person, past tense. I decided to write this series in first person, present tense. And this series is based not totally on my life, but it's about a girl in the 1950s who wants to be a champion pool player.
Okay.
There's a big problem with that. Girls weren't allowed in pool rooms back then. So she dresses like a boy, and she and her dad are very, very good. She starts winning everything, sneaking into the pool rooms. But to make a long story short, she gets in a lot of trouble. She's sent to the Salvation Army instead of to boarding school. She goes for counseling, and there she meets Captain Arlene Masters. And she comes to know Arlene as a mother figure because we deal with issues in this book. Tommy's from a broken home. She lives with her dad and her grandmother. So through meeting Captain R, as she's called, Tommy comes to know the Lord Jesus as her Savior. And that happens quite at the end of this book. But the very interesting thing about this, and this is the first book in the series, the Tommy Pocket series, my father was a very good pool player. He could have gone pro. So I have his pool table in my basement. He bought that, and it's probably over 100 years old. It's a very good pool table. We've had it refurbished twice. When this book came out in 2020, kids that I knew and still know came to me and said, "We really like this book, but we know in the back here in this book, when Tommy goes to this Salvation Army place, they have a game room in the back of the post. And she went there every Friday night playing pool and ping pong, and they had pizza and all this stuff. We know you have a pool table. Would you teach us how to shoot pool?" Well, thankfully, the parents decided, okay, we've got something here that maybe these kids would be interested in. So to make another long story short, kids started coming for three-hour lessons over a series of different weeks. And when one of the little girls was standing there having her lesson one day, next to the pool table there, I can still picture her standing there holding her stick. She said, "Why can't we have a Friday fun night, like in the book?" Well, it was like the angels singing and the heavens opening up. I thought, what a great idea. Over the next couple months, we organized the Tommy Pocket's Friday fun night. Thank the Lord I didn't decide to do it every Friday night. I'd probably be in heaven right now. We do it once a month for 8 to 12-year-olds. My basement has been converted into a clubhouse. The kids come on a Friday night from 6 to 8 o'clock. We have pizza. We have a devotional. That's the most important part as far as I'm concerned, that they have something from the Word of God. And then they know they can have fun from Christian fellowship. And we have a limit of 15 students, 15 clubbers, with a waiting list. And we teach them how to shoot pool. We have a ping pong table. We play chess. We're teaching them that. We have guest speakers. And it's just a miracle the way this has happened. And I have to give the Lord praise and honor for this. This was His doing. This is not a church function. So I had no financial means. Over the years, I've met writer friends. I only see them once a year at the Montrose Conference. I have friends in the church. And through their donations and their prayers, we've been able to maintain that club and provide all of these snacks and games, and we even go on field trips. The kids get T-shirts. They're already paid for. Wow. It's been amazing. And I just thank the Lord. It's just an amazing outreach that I never expected. And it's just a book that has come alive. I'm overwhelmed.
And I've seen enough events and organizations and clubs over the years to know that maintaining 15, it's impressive because there's so much out there that's going on. So obviously they want to keep coming back.
They do. The kids love it, and they hate to leave when they're 12, but then, you know, they're getting to be teenagers and they know everything. Some of them do hang around a little bit, but most of them then graduate into their teen class at their own church.
Okay.
And this is not just for my church kids exclusively. And I still do homeschool evaluations, and that word has gotten out, and this person tells that person, and these little boys want to come, this little girl wants to come, and that's how we keep up with the group. So we've done all kinds of activities, and it's just amazing. And when Friday night's over at 8 o'clock, I do have a married couple, some of my best friends, they come and help me chaperone. The kids go out smiling, they win prizes. We have beautiful prizes. They can win prizes by playing games. They can win prizes by reciting scripture. And they go home with bags full of prizes, and then the three of us collapse on the sofa. Okay. It takes us 3 days to recover.
Everybody I interview needs to talk like you, because you keep answering the questions before they come out. So this is going very smoothly. But I was wondering how, you know, where do these kids come from? And now you've already told me that. But how do you finance it? How do you keep it going in that sense?
The finances, the way the Lord started this. Like I said, the church did not support me in any way. I used my own money to start. But then when word got out and I announced this up at the conference just for people to pray, and I gave away over 500 of these Tommy Pockets books to the Salvation Army posts. Wherever I could find them in the immediate area, I sent them out of state. I sent two or three of these books free. So maybe the Lord honored me that way. I didn't ask for any money. I gave away over 500 of these books. When people found out about that club, they started sending me money. And I kept shoving this money in an envelope one day. One day I decided, I think I'm going to count that. There was $1,012 in that envelope. Wow. To support this club. And that happened last November. And because of that money, we were then able to do Franklin Graham's Operation Christmas Child. We went and bought all of the supplies, all the boxes, and the kids packed them. They brought in a gift of their own, and we used the money for that as well as supporting the club.
Okay. And you do promote this online, social media, and so forth?
Facebook mostly. Okay. I have a Pinterest site. I have a website. I have two blogs. I'm on there. All I need to do is plug in my number, and they can find me there.
Okay. And what is the website? Well, get people started.
It's MarshaHublerAuthor.com. But if they go to Facebook, they can actually see some of the Tommy Pockets kids in action. It's amazing how they've learned how to shoot pool, which is three short lessons. And we have a page in there. We have a group. And they can go and visit that and see these kids in action. And we'd love to have visitors. And any children that are interested in coming in the local area, we'll put them on the waiting list.
Did you teach my wife to play pool back in the day? Because she is pretty good.
I think so. We used to have Kramer Christian Academy kids come up to my basement. Yes, sir.
It's all coming together now.
Okay. Yes.
Because I look ridiculous by comparison. So, okay. Well, this all makes sense now. All right. So, MarshaHublerAuthor.com. And also, you can check out the Facebook page, which is... What do we search? Tommy Pockets?
Yeah, they can put Tommy Pockets in. Okay. They can put my name in. They'll get to see a whole lot of stuff.
And that concludes today's program. Thanks for being with us on the WPGM Community Forum. And as we mentioned, Marcia does work with the Montrose Christian Writers Conference. You can learn more about that on the Montrose Bible Conference website, which is simply montrosebible.org. You can go there to get more information. And they're working on the summer event. And if you'd like to perhaps even be involved and attend, you can get the information there through that website. Thanks for being with us on the program, Marcia, and we thank you, the listener, for tuning in. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.